Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. Amen. Please be seated. There is a sense in which, as Mary and Joseph brought their six-week-old baby to be presented in the temple, it was a bit like an infant baptism today. The parents bring their child in a spirit of thankfulness for their safe arrival and to pray for their future. They will also come with a sense of tradition and custom. Little one will perhaps be baptized in the gown that a parent or grandparent was also baptized in. And they come to dedicate their child's life to God. Promises are made on behalf of the child about the way in which they might live their life. And the hope and prayer is that as they grow, they will claim these promises for their own. Mary and Joseph go to the temple according to the Jewish law and custom and tradition. They go full of thanks for the child that has been given to them. They go to pray for the baby Jesus, for his life. And more than that, they dedicate him to God, presenting him to the Lord. Fitting for the child who the angel Gabriel told Mary would be great and called the Son of the Most High. However, for Mary and Joseph, what followed was not what they had been expecting. Suddenly, the old man Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and began speaking prophetically about him. Unfortunately, we do not get the words of the old lady Anna, also a prophet, but we do get Simeon's now iconic words. "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." There is so much in this passage that I could speak about, but this morning I'd like just to focus on one verse. "My eyes have seen your salvation." There is a tradition that says that Simeon was blind, which is an interesting thought when we read those words. But often in the Bible, seeing is not about physically seeing something, but rather about having our eyes open to God, perhaps rather perceiving than seeing. Sometimes being able to physically see does us no good at all. For example, when Jesus challenges his disciples, "Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear?" Whether he was blind or not, Simeon sees God's salvation in the baby Jesus. This word salvation litters the New Testament. In the Greek, the language the New Testament was written in, its meaning is broad, to include a sense of healing and wellness, as well as a state of safety. There are many ways we might describe God's salvation, and we learn plenty about it from Jesus' own teaching. For example, in a few chapters later in Luke, in his Nazareth Manifesto, when he proclaims that he has come to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed. Another definition of salvation helpfully comes in our other reading this morning from Hebrews. "Through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." In both of these definitions, we gain a real sense of Jesus liberating or setting people free from that which destroys. And we know that the overpowering of evil came not by what the standards of the world might call a mighty force, but rather in the vulnerable and human form of a baby. Simeon saw and perceived this. He recognized that this little baby was the means of God's salvation. How did this old man recognize that? And indeed, how did Anna? Well, for me, it was Simeon and Anna's faithfulness to God. They have got to know God so well over the years, through prayer, through learning, through experience, that when God's salvation walks into the room, or rather is carried by a young woman, they notice it. Simeon and Anna have been praying and hoping and waiting expectantly their whole lives for God's promises in the Old Testament, their scriptures, to be fulfilled. No doubt they've both seen their fair share of hardship and suffering, and we hear a little of Anna's having been widowed very young, but they have remained faithful to God and to their religion, continuing to trust God that those promises would be fulfilled, even when times were hard and all hope seemed lost. There are no doubt many Christians, saints through the ages, who we might consider shining examples of faithfulness. Those who have stuck by the faith through hardships, through persecution, even to martyrdom. And so too those who have lived out their faith in exemplary lives. Mother Teresa is the one who springs to mind. And interestingly, it was revealed after her death that she had in fact spent many years struggling with her faith. She spoke of dark times and feeling that God was absent, which led her to even doubt his existence. She said that the silence and emptiness is so great that I look and do not see. Once again, we're reminded of that concept of seeing. For her, she found herself seeking God, but to no avail. I'm sure there are times when we have all felt like that. And yet still she remained faithful in prayer and in her exemplary service. We cannot always feel God's presence so close that we feel we can stretch out our hands and touch it. We cannot always be flooded with the Holy Spirit and feel as though we could set the world ablaze for God. In fact, those moments are rare, and some may never feel that sense of God being physically present. And yet, we are called to be faithful, to persist in prayer and in our love for God and our service to God, to persist in hope. And for those who cannot, even while missing that sense of God's presence, that is surely all the more and inspiring and amazing. For those who do not sense God with them, still when they continue faithful, that is inspiring. Simeon and Anna would not have lived their lives on a spiritual high. There were no doubt many times when they simply had to knuckle down to the job of serving their God. But what a moment that would have been when they did glimpse what Simeon calls God's salvation, as it appeared before them in the form of a tiny baby. And here we see God's faithfulness. God has been faithful to Simeon and Anna and to his words from many centuries before. God has not let them down, and nor does he let us down. There will be times when we feel like God is absent or ignoring us, but that is not the case. God is ever present and is faithful to his promises to us. Jesus is faithful to his words, "Behold, I will be with you always." Sometimes, like Simeon and Anna, we are simply called to wait patiently and faithfully, expectantly, trusting that God is faithful and will not forget us. Simeon and Anna are able to recognize God's salvation when it appears before them because of their close relationship with God, their faithfulness to God, their hope and expectation that they will see this, God's salvation. So let us look to them as great examples today on how to live out our faith, faithfully, persistent in prayer, in study, in service. Even when doubts creep in and God seems far away, because God is faithful. And there will be moments when, like Simeon and Anna, we too are blessed to glimpse God's salvation. Amen.